Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through God's word. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo, the Lord God will lead your way is our title for this morning. We are blessed beyond measure that the Lord leads our way. And I'm thanking God this morning for the word that I received. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Fred and Morning Glory Nation, for an awesome word this morning. Woo, come on now. You know, when God gives us those love words, what we talked about on yesterday, about loving God and coming out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you know, God is love. And I love this morning. I'm just going to give you some pointers that I got that I just thought were right on point. And I just, again, thank Morning Glory Nation, shout out. And I say to all of you that listen in, if you are on Facebook, go out and put in a request to be a part of the nation, because I tell you, Pastor Fred Wilson, you, I got you. Hallelujah. And these are some pointers that we got this morning, and I'm just going to give them to you. God is love, 1 John 4:8. We talked about that on yesterday. But this is the four pointers that Pastor Few gave us this morning. And it says, everything God allows in my life is because of love. And as we are about to go into our Exodus word this morning, you know, we know that God did some stuff in the wilderness because of stiff-necked, hard-headed folks. But everything he did was because of love. Brought him out of bondage because of love. Made them wander in the wilderness because of love, because he wanted them to be prepared when they got to the promised land. And then this is another one, number two. There is never a time in my life that God doesn't love me. And you think this through. In the wilderness, what did God do? They needed water. God gave them water from a rock. Come on now. They needed food. God gave them manna from heaven. They wanted meat, complaining wine. God gave them quail. You know, whatever you need, God will provide. Why? Because there is never a time in my life that God doesn't love me. You know what you've needed in your life, and what happened? God provided. And then the next word he told us was, I cannot love without God, and people cannot love me without God. God is the source of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God is the source of love. He gave us love through his son, Jesus Christ. But again, into our lesson this morning, God gave them everything he needed them to do to take care of his tabernacle, how to build the tabernacle from 50 cubits to 5 cubits. From the north to the east, to the west, to the south, God gave them instruction on everything. And Moses, God gave everything to do, wrote it by his own hand, told him how to build the Ark of the Covenant to put inside. Why? Because God is love. And the number four that God gave Pastor Few this morning that I'm sharing with you is this. When I say I love you, I'm really saying I got you. Hallelujah. I got you. So good morning. Moving forward, family. I got you this morning. And as we go to the heavenly throne, we just say to Father God, thank you, God, for guiding me, for giving me you, that there's no me without you. Hallelujah. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning, giving you everything that's in us, asking you, Father God, to lead us, to guide us, to give us everything we need to do your will in our life. Lord God, I thank you for this mighty word. I thank you for the instructions you have given us. I thank you for your love, your goodness, your mercy, your kindness. I thank you, Lord, for your chastisement. I thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning, for continuing to give me life when you could have taken me out, but instead you gave me some more time. So, Father God, I thank you for the do-over today. I thank you for just your grace and mercy toward each and every one of us to make today better than yesterday. Lord God, I thank you for each and every listener, those that listen live and those that listen later, and I ask you to pour your grace and your mercy and your blessings over them. And Father God, as we get ready to get into this word, I pray, Lord God, that you increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my very humble heart, Lord God, be acceptable in your holy sight. For you, Father God, are my strength and my redeemer. And it's in the name of the matchless Savior, I lift up this word in Jesus' name, that someone hearing it that does not know Jesus will be saved, set free, and filled with your Holy Spirit. In the name of the matchless Savior, again, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah, giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength. I got a T-shirt that I like to wear that it just says, but God. Hallelujah. We all have our but God moments, and we have to say, Lord, you lead. Lord, you're in charge. Lord, I can't do this without you. We can't even breathe without God. Come on now. We can't love without God. Can't do anything without God. God is the source of our strength. As you know, Song of Solomon says, Song of Songs, it says, place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death, is jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Come on now, we got to ask God to love us like that. And then it goes on to tell us there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We got to walk in faith and not walk in fear. And I tell you this, the children of Israel had to learn how to walk in faith, how to walk with God, how to know that the Lord God loved them, cared for them, gave them everything they needed and more than they could ever, ever ask for. Hallelujah. God gives us sustenance when we need it. All we got to do is believe. Come on, y'all. Let's believe today that God has us covered from the crowns of our heads to the soles of our feet. We are covered. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm all filled up this morning, just filled up with the love of God for all of you. And I thank God for you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thanking God for you this today. So let's get started. We are going to be coming out of the book of Exodus today, starting in Exodus 39 and finishing Exodus off today. Wow, are we moving forward or not? We are. So we'll be finishing Exodus today. Time permit, we will be going into Leviticus chapters 1 and 2. And then we will get into our Proverbs and our Psalm and Proverb word. And we will probably get into our New Testament word on tomorrow. But but we'll see how much time we have. We have a little more time today because, again, we are covering what would have been yesterday's word and today's word because we kind of deviated yesterday because why? God said so. And I'm going to do what he tells me to do. So today we're going to be a little bit longer to get all caught up in our word. So we'll be back on track on tomorrow. So let's get started. Get your Bible, y'all. And the word again today is the Lord God will lead your way. Hallelujah. And as Pastor Few said, I guide you today. I love y'all. And I thank God for each and every one of you. So let's get started. And this is my second time saying let's get started. So let's truly get started for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Of the blue, purple, and scarlet thread, they made garments of ministry for ministering in the holy place and made the holy garments for Aaron as the Lord had commanded Moses. He made the ephod of gold, blue, purple, scarlet thread, and of fine woven linen. And they beat the gold into thin sheets and cut it into threads to work in it in with the blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and the fine linen into artistic designs. They made shoulder straps for it to complete, to couple it together. It was coupled together at its two edges. And the intricately woven band of his ephod was on it was the same workmanship, woven of gold, blue, purple, scarlet thread, and a fine woven linen, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And they set onyx stones enclosed in settings of gold. They were engraved as signets are engraved with the names of the sons of Israel. He put them on the shoulders of the ephod as a memorial stone for the sons of Israel, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he made the breastplate artistically woven, like the workmanship of the ephod of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, in a fine woven linen. They made the breast square by doubling it. A span was its length, and a span its width when doubled. And they set in it four rows of stone, a row with a sardis, a topaz. An emerald was the first row. The second row was a turquoise, a sapphire, and a diamond. The third row was jacinth, an agate, and amethyst. The fourth row, beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They were enclosed in settings of gold in their mountings. There were 12 stones according to the names of the sons of Israel, according to their names engraved like a signet, each one with its own name according to the 12 tribes. And they made chains for the breastplate at the ends like braided cords of pure gold. They also made two settings of gold and two gold rings and put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. And they put the two braided chains of gold in the two rings on the ends of the breastplate. The two ends of the two braided chains they fastened in the two settings and put them on the shoulder straps of the ephod in the front. And they made two rings of gold and put them on the two ends of the breastplate, on the edge of it, which was on the inward side of the ephod. They made two other gold rings and put them on the two shoulder straps underneath the ephod toward the front, right at the seam above the intricately woven band of the ephod. And they bound the breastplate by means of its rings to the rings of the ephod with a blue cord, so that it would be above the intricately woven band of the ephod, and that the breastplate would not come loose from the ephod, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He made the robe of the ephod of woven work all of blue. And there was an opening in the middle of the robe, like the opening in a coat of mail, with a woven binding all around the opening so that it would not tear. they made on the hem of the robe, pomegranates, a blue, purple, and scarlet, and a fine woven linen. And they made bells of pure gold and put the bells between the pomegranates on the hem of the robe, all around between the pomegranates, a bell and a pomegranate, all around the hem of the robe to minister in the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. They made tunics artistically woven of fine linen for Aaron and his sons, a turban of fine linen, exquisite hairs of fine linen, short trousers of fine woven linen, and a sash of fine woven linen with blue, purple, and scarlet thread, made by a weaver as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then they made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold and wrote on it an inscription like the engraving of a signet, holiness to the Lord. Woo, hallelujah. I got to read that one more time, two more times. Holiness to the Lord. Holiness to the Lord. And they tied to it a blue cord to fasten it above on the turban as the Lord had commanded Moses. Thus all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting was finished. And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. So they did. But one time, they was obedient. They were obedient. They did all that Moses had commanded. Thank you, Jesus. And they brought the tabernacle, all its furnishings, its clasps, its boards, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, the covering of ram skin, dyed red, and the covering of badger skins, and the veil of the covering, the ark of the testimony with its poles, and the mercy seat, the table, all its utensils, and the showbread, the pure lampstand. Woo, hallelujah. Just went on. Come on now. They everything they were told to do, they did it. They did it. Because why? God told them to. And all we are supposed to say is, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, God. And as we continue, it says this. The Ark of the Testimony with its poles and the mercy seat, the table, all its utensils, and the showbread, the pure gold lampstand with its lamps, the lamp set in order, and its utensils, and the oil for light, the gold anointing oil, and the sweet incense, the screen for the tabernacle door, the bronze altar, its grate of bronze, its poles, and all its utensils, the lever with its base, the hanging of the court, its pillows and its sockets, the screen for the court gates, its court, and its pegs, all the utensils for the service of the tabernacle, for the tent of meeting, and the garment of ministry. Oh, hallelujah. To minister in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron, the priest, and the son's garments to minister as priests, according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. So the children of Israel did all the work. Then Moses looked over all the work, and indeed they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Just so they had done it, and Moses blessed them. Come on, y'all. They got blessed because of obedience. We are blessed because of obedience. Hallelujah. And we are about to... Evangelist Teresa is going to come in and read for us this morning. Evangelist, your line is open. She is going to take us through Exodus chapter 40 in the King James Version. Hallelujah. Because that is where our title is coming from this morning. You know, the Lord God will lead your way. And God is leading the way. He is going to show them what to do. Hallelujah. Evangelist Shell line is open to take over the reading. Hallelujah. We give it over to the woman of God to take us through our last chapter of Exodus this morning and into Leviticus chapter 1. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Evangelist, for coming in this morning. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I turn it over to Evangelist Green.
Yes. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and thou shalt put therein, God was given specific instructions to them. Oh, Lord, thank you. Sorry, I got to turn the page. Jesus, you're my Father, you're my in the name of Jesus, the Holy Ghost. Sorry about that. The devil is a liar. Got stuff together here. Oh, Jesus, we in heaven. Lord, thank you. I apologize. My pages are stuck together, Jesus. Son and me yet, glory. Oh, God, thank you. My Bible keeps wanting to go right to Leviticus number 1. Please be patient with me. This is never something first time for everything. Thank you, Lord. Hey, glory. I'll start back over since I had to turn. I apologize. Once again, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and thou shalt put therein, oh glory, the ark of the testimony and the cover, and cover the ark with the veil. And thou shalt bring in the table and set it in order, the things that are to be set in order upon it. And thou shalt bring in the candlestick and light the lamps thereof. And thou shalt set the altar of gold, oh glory, for the incense before the ark of the testimony, and put the ark and put the hanging of the door to the tabernacle. And thou shalt set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And thou shalt set the lever between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and shall put water therein. And thou shalt set up the court round about, and hang the hanging at the court gate. And thou shalt take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is therein. And thou shalt hallow it and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy, hey, glory. And thou shalt anoint the altar of the burnt offering and all his vessels, and sanctify the altar, and it shall be an altar most holy. Holy, 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 Lord, you're worthy. And thou shalt anoint the laver and his foot, and sanctify it. And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and wash them with water. And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garment and anoint him and sanctify him, and he shall, and he may minister unto the priest's office, and thou shalt bring his sons and clothe them with coats, and thou shalt anoint them as thou didst anoint the father, that thou may minister unto me in the priest's office. For their anointing shall bring surely, their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generation. Thus did Moses according to all the Lord commanded him, so did he. And it shall come to pass in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. And Moses reared up the tabernacle and fastened his sockets and set on the boards thereof and put in the bars thereof and reared up his pillars. And he spake abroad, and he spread abroad the tent over the tabernacle, and put the covering of the tent above it, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he took and put the testimonies into the ark, and set the staff on the ark, and put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And he brought the ark of the tabernacle, and set the veil of the covering, and covered the ark among, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he put the table in the tent of the congregation upon the side of the tabernacle, northward without the veil. And he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he spake the candles, and he put the candlestick in the tent of the congregation over against the table on the side of the tabernacle southward. And he lightened the lamp before the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he put the golden altar in the tent of the congregation before the veil. And he put, and he burnt sweet incense thereof, and the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he set the hangings at the door of the tabernacle. And he put the altar of the burnt offering by the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and offered upon it the burnt offering and the meat offering, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and put water therein to wash without. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet therein, thereat. And they went into the tent of the congregation, and when they had came near unto the altar, they washed as the Lord commanded Moses. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hangings of the Moses. So Moses finished the work. And then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, as Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode therein, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up over the tabernacle of the children of Israel, went onward in all their journey. But if the cloud were not taken up to them up, thank you. Then they journeyed till the day thereof, there it was taken up. Oh, Jesus. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day and fire thereon by night. And there was on the night of the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journey. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hold on just a moment. Now we're getting ready to go into Leviticus. And y'all know we got our little book. And it just says this to kind of know your Bible. Know your Bible, y'all. And it says this, Leviticus, the author of Leviticus, not stated, but traditionally attributed to Moses. The date approximately 1400 B.C., which means it's about 1,400 years before Christ. And the 10 words or less is a holy God explains how to worship him. Can y'all say that with me? A holy God explains how to worship him. That's what Leviticus is all about. A holy God explains how to worship him. In Leviticus, we learn how to worship God. And some details from Leviticus is this. In Leviticus, meaning about the Levites, and we know the Levites is Aaron and his sons, describes how that family line to lead the Israelites in worship. The book provides ceremonial laws as opposed to the moral laws of Exodus, describing offerings to God, dietary restrictions and purification rites, special holy days, including the Sabbath, Passover, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, are commanded. The family of Aaron, Moses' brother, is ordained as Israel's formal priesthood. Leviticus lists several blessings for obedience and many more punishments for disobedience. We wonder why folks going through some things. Disobedience. Are you getting blessed? Obedience. But as we go continue, some quotables. Ye shall be holy, for I, God, am holy. Leviticus 11 and 44. That's a highlightable. The life of the flesh is in the blood. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Leviticus 17 and 11. And actually, I'm going to go to Leviticus 17 and 11 so we can get that whole entire scripture, not just part of it. So let's get over really to Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. And then we'll go back and get into our word. But I just want to read it in context. So Leviticus 11, it says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement. Hallelujah.
Yes.
It is the blood. And we know that that blood is the blood of Jesus. Come on now. We know it's Jesus' blood. They're making their atonement for the soul. Hallelujah. And then it goes on to say unique and unusual about Leviticus. Leviticus' blood sacrifices are contrasted with Jesus' death on the cross by the writer of Hebrews, who needed not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice. And let's go down, go over real quick to Leviticus chapter 7. And I will read that to you, and I'm coming out of King James for my King James readers this morning. And it says this in Leviticus 7 and 27, whatsoever soul it be that eateth any manner of blood, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. And even to this day, I cannot eat anything rare because I think of this scripture that we are not supposed to be eating blood. You know, we got to be very careful that your food is thoroughly cooked because the word said a lot of it is a diet. It can get into your body is through eating food that is not thoroughly cooked. So it's a common sense thing, but God gave it to us in his word that we must use common sense when it comes to eating certain foods because parasites can be in the blood of different meats that are eaten rare. So be careful. That's why we're supposed to cook our food thoroughly. Just throwing it out there. And then it goes on to tell us in 7 and 27. Let's read it all. Whatsoever so it be that eateth any manner of blood, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. And then when we go over to Hebrews, it says this. Who needeth not daily, says Leviticus, blood sacrifice are contrary with Jesus' death on the cross. And we're going to go over to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27. I was in Leviticus 7, 27, but that was important because it's a dietary thing that God obviously wanted me to mention because he wouldn't have gave me that scripture otherwise. But I say this, we got to be very careful in what we eat, especially with things going on the way they are. We have to be extremely careful, but understand that Jesus came for us, gave his life for us, loved us enough, hallelujah, that he gave us everything we need. And this is what Hebrews talks about. It says, and we're talking about blood sacrifices, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people. But this he did once when he offered up himself. We don't no longer have to go to somebody else to take our sins to the cross. We don't have to go to anybody else to go pray to God for us. We don't have to go to anybody else to ask them, you know, can you send a word to God? We can do it ourselves. We go when we go out for prayer. We go out for prayer to touch for someone to touch in agreement. As we pray ourselves, asking God for whatever it is, we don't have a third party. We don't have to go to the priest and confess our sins. We confess them to God through Jesus Christ. You know, no more do you have to get an unblemished lamb and a ram in its first season, or you have to go and get unblemished anything. It's already done because Jesus took our sin to the cross as an unblemished lamb. Sacrifice for us. And this is the last thing for Leviticus. So what? Though we don't live under the rules of Leviticus, we still serve a holy God and should treat him as such. And when we say again, I love you, we got to say I guide you because God is love. Hallelujah. Evangelist, I turn it back over to you. Leviticus chapter 1 and Leviticus through Leviticus chapter 2, verse 16, and then I'll take back over for our Psalm, Proverb, and New Testament. So I give it back over to our woman of God. Hallelujah.
All right. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1. Unto the Lord, and the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall burn your offering of the cattle, even of the head, herd, and of the flock. If his offering be a sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest, Aaron's son, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire upon the altar, and laid the wood in order upon the fire. And the priest of Aaron's sons,
glory,
and shall the parts of the head and of the fat in order upon the wood that is in the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn to the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of the sweet savor unto the Lord. And he shall offer, and if he, Jesus, thank you. And if his offering be of the flock, namely the sheep or of the goat for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it a male thereof without blemish. And he shall kill it upon the side of the altar, northward before the ark, before the Lord, and the priest Aaron's sons shall sprinkle his blood round upon the altar. And he shall cut unto his feet, thank you, Jesus. And he, oh, Holy Ghost, and he shall cut it upon his pieces, and his head and his fat, and the priest shall lay them in order upon the wood, that is the fire which is upon the altar. But he shall wash the inwards and the legs with water, and the priest, glory, and the priest shall bring it all and burn it upon the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And if the burnt sacrifice for his offering to the Lord be of fowls, then he shall bring his offering of the turtle dove, or of the young pigeon, and the priest shall bring unto the altar and wring off his head and burn it unto the altar, and the blood thereof shall be wrung out of the side of the altar, and he shall pluck away, thank you, Jesus, his crop with his feathers, and cast it beside the altar on the east part. But the place of the ash, by the place of the ashes, and he shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And when, this one in chapter 2, and when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be a fine flour. And he shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense thereon. And he shall bring it to the son, the priest, and he shall take thereof his handful of the flour thereof and of the oil thereof and all the frankincense thereof. And the priest shall burn the moil of it upon the altar to be an offering made by fire of the sweet savor unto the Lord. And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. And if thou bring a oblation of meat taken in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mingled with oil of unleavened waters, wafers anointed with oil. And if the oblation be a meat offering baking in a pan, it shall be a fine flour unleavened mingled with oil. Thou shalt put it in pieces and pour oil thereof. It is a meat offering. And if the oblation be a meat offering baking in the frying pan, it shall be made a fine flour with oil. And thou shalt bring the meat offering that is made of these things unto the Lord. And when it is presented unto the priest, he shall bring it unto the altar. And the priest shall take it from the meat offering, a memorial thereof, and thou shalt burn it upon the altar. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And that which is left of the meat offering shall be Aaron and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offering the Lord spake made by fire. No meat offering which ye shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven, for it shall be burnt, for that ye shall burn no leaven, nor any honey, any offering of the Lord made by fire. As for the children of the first fruits, thank you, Lord, and the oblation of the first fruits shall offer, thank you, Lord, thank you, of the first fruits to offer them unto the Lord,
it's a page turner, y'all. This is a page turner.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. What a word.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, thank you. Mm-hmm.
I got you, Evangelist.
Okay,
as for the oblation, you got it? Okay.
Yes, I got it. Thank you. Be burnt on the altar for a sweet savior, and the first oblation of the meat offering shalt thou season with salt. Neither shall thou offer the salt of the covenant of God to be lacking from any meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. And thou shalt offer a meat offering of the first fruits unto the Lord. Thou shalt offer it for the meat offering of the first fruits, green ears of corn, dried by fire, even corn beaten out of full ears. And thou shalt put oil upon it and lay frankincense thereof for a meat offering. And the priest shall burn the memorial of the part of the beaten corn thereof and put the oil thereof with all the frankincense thereof. It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Hallelujah. God, Lord.
Amen. Evangelist, all I got to say is eat when food does not season. Come on now. Hallelujah.
Yes.
God some flavor in his food. We got to do what God says do. Don't come giving some bland food to God. Hallelujah. You said, I got to have some salt in it. Come on. God, don't play. I love the word of God because it always gives you absolute down the minute, even the salt. Hallelujah. For we know we are the salt of the earth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this word this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Evangelist, for coming in and taking over for me for a little while. Hallelujah. I want to introduce to some and present to others our guest reader this morning, Evangelist Teresa Green. Hallelujah. Awesome woman of God who will be coming forth, coming in the future more often in Old Testament as well as New Testament King James Version.
Thank you,
King James reader. She's a King James reader. And between the two of us, at least make sure that everybody gets an opportunity to be able to read from a particular text.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you.
Oh, you know what? The devil is a lie because all of a sudden I get cut off. Why? Because the devil don't like us coming in and speaking the word of God. But you know what? We're going to keep it in the air. Hallelujah. We're going to send it over the airways from land, from sea, from everywhere in every nation. God's word is going forth. Hallelujah. And I thank all of you that listen in from Canada. I thank my folks that are listening in from Israel. I just thank all of you guys for coming in from Jamaica. I thank you. You know, I thank all of you from the United States, some of you from the West Coast who are getting up early in the morning to listen in. And I thank you, MG Nation, for listening in as well. Thank all of you for coming in and listening in. Mm-hmm. If you ever want to call in, the number to call is 213-943-3597. Give the number out to friends. Tell them to call it in. Again, 213-943-3597 is our call-in number. And it's also a listen number. You can listen in on that number as well. If you are not on social media, I only put out our link on Twitter and on Facebook. So if you are not part of Minister_Beast Talks Word on Twitter and under Bridget Smith, which will eventually be going to moving forward, coming in the near future. There will be a moving forward Facebook group. So thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Let's get back in our word. Evangelist, again, thank you so much for listening, for speaking for us this morning. It has been greatly appreciated. So let's get into our Proverbs word and Psalm word. We are in Psalm chapter 22, starting at verse number 16. Again, for those that are listening in, we will be over today. We'll be going to about 8:30 so that we get in all of our word from yesterday and today. Because yesterday we did go in to a love word God gave me to go. I come out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the love chapter, and out of the Song of Solomon, our Song of Songs. So let's get going. In Psalm 22, it says, chapter 22, verse starting at verse 16, for dogs have surrounded me. This is David speaking. David didn't play. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. And we're talking Jesus Christ. Y'all know We're talking about the Savior here. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength hastens to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. And when we go back to the word, it says, they pierced my hands and my feet. This is a prophetic word of Jesus, a descendant of David. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. We know all of this happened at the cross. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. You know, Jesus called on his Father, and we got to call on the Father too. And as we go into verse 22, it says, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. Hallelujah. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. A posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. And it has been. We know who our Savior is. We know the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we know that he gave his life for us and our sinful selves. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Proverbs chapter 8, starting at verse 22. And it says this, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. Talking Jesus. He's all up in, you know, we don't understand it until we start to really stop and say, Lord, give me understanding and discernment. We are talking Jesus in our word this morning. Jesus, who died on the cross, whose nails were placed in his hands and in his feet, whose garments were divided and lots cast. They were gambling for his clothes. Come on now. And then as we go into the word, it tells us, why as yet he had not made the earth or the field or the primal dust of the world. But it goes back to tell you, when there was no death, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. Hallelujah. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, hallelujah, the great carpenter Jesus, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Ooh, Jesus, what a word. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors, for whoever finds me finds a life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Whoa. You know, we don't even think about the fact that he's always been there. He has always been there. And we're going to go back after we finish this word this morning and go over some life lessons. We got to understand in our word, God is speaking to us regarding his son. You know, God has given us even what to eat and how to eat it. Don't eat no bloody. Oh, I have mine rare. No. All kind of parasites in rare food. We got to be careful and thoroughly cook our food. And wait a minute, God even told you, add a little flavor. Come on, y'all. Add a little flavor to what you eat. Even God wanted a little flavor in his food. Come on. In the sacrifice, God there had some stuff. Come on. God does not play. Everything from the curtains to the glass, God gave us instruction on his tabernacle. Down to the coverings, the colors. Come on now. God gave it to us. To the ephod, he gave to Aaron what to wear. God does not play. Hallelujah. For he is holy. Therefore, we must be holy. For we are his children, and we represent our Father. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 through 26. And it says, and when morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. Heartless. Because in all of this, let's call it straight, was not because they loved God. Was not because they knew who he was. They knew who he was. But it was about power. It was about money. It was about keeping status quo. They knew who he was. And they said, we got to nip this in the bud. Because we know that when they find out it is the Savior, we cannot control these folks. It's been bad enough that he's been going around healing folks, even on the Sabbath. We got to nip this because the Romans are going to come after us if we don't. It was about power. And even today in the church, we see power-hungry leadership. We see folks not caring about souls being saved, but by how many jets and how many cars and how many houses and how much stuff can they accumulate. Not understanding, you can't take it with you. Not one stick can you take with you. But understand, you will be held accountable for the lies that you have allowed to come out of your mouth in your pulpit. You will be held accountable for all the things that you have done that have led your people astray to worship after folks instead of worshiping after God. You have had pastors preaching about people more than preaching about God. Come on now. We better understand we will all be held accountable for what we teach, what we preach, and what we say. And what did they tell Judas? What is that to us? You see to it. And he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. It is suicide. But the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury because they are the price of blood. And they consulted together and brought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore, the field has been called the field of blood to this day. They feel what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was priced, whom they of the children of Israel priced, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus said to him, it is as you say. But I'm not ashamed to tell you who I am, because I know what's about to happen. I knew it before I came. I knew it before I came into this world through my mother's womb. I knew why I was coming. And so, yeah, I am the king. Yes, I am. And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But he answered him not, no word, so that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast of the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner, whom they wished, and at that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. Come on now. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, have nothing to do with this, with that just man. For I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. You know, his wife was clairvoyant. You know, she had a gift. She had a gift, and she could see visions. And she's like, don't get involved with this mess, because this is not our mess to be involved with. So let's see what happens, because, you know, she came, and she's like, While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, have nothing to do with that just man. Even the Romans knew he was a just man. But I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, which of the two do you want me to release to you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? They all said to him, let him be crucified. Then the governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. What did they tell Judas? Come on now. Let's go back. What is that to us? You see to it. You know what they told Judas? And now it came right around back to him. What did Pilate just say to them? Innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. What goes around comes around. You knew that Judas said, this is wrong. I'm giving this silver back. He is innocent. They're like, hey, whatever, you see to it. And what he do but kill himself. And now they come into Pilate trying to take the blame off of themselves. And Pilate said, whatever, you see to it. Come on now. God has a way of showing you yourself. And all the people answered and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Be careful what you say, because some things may happen when you see what you've done and it comes back. Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. They beat him. And when they talk about scourging, they are talking like whips with knives and things that tear the skin, and just, it's almost like they plowed the skin of the person. Jesus did not do anything wrong. But I tell you one thing. Pilate wasn't having nothing to do with that. I washed my hands. This blood is not on me. You know. And then he wasn't going to tell me, you know, and just hateful and evil. Why? Power. When you go and dig deep down, you find out more garbage and things are done by people because they want to stay in power. They will tear some stuff up for power. You know, you got folks that will tear a church up, divide a congregation for power. Because the pastor's not doing what this deacon wants done, this deacon starts a campaign to destroy the church. Because this minister is not doing what this parishioner wants done, the parishioner starts a campaign to talk about that minister. So the minister don't even know what's going on because they're being vilified and talked about. Pastors being tore up and tore down because of lies and deceit. And the ones doing the dirt sometimes are others. Pastors within the community, because they feel that they losing parishioners to the pastors who are doing the right thing. Come on now, God knows that he sees it all, but dirt is dirt. And you had a whole bunch of folks that saw Jesus healing the sick, raising the dead, feeding the hungry, and they were not doing their job. What did Jesus say in the word we read on yesterday? When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. And folks are like, well, when did I do all that? You didn't. And as we go into chapter 27 of Matthew, it says this, verse 27 through 54. When the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him, they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they spat on him and took their reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. Now as they came out, they found a man of Syria, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come to the place called Golgotha, that to say, place of a skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. When they crucified him and divided his garment, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. And we just read that this morning in Psalm. Setting down, they kept watch over him there, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and the other on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. You are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also mocking with the scribes and elders said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him." He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lam sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Come, some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Woo! Come on now. The dead in Christ shall rise. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, surely this was the Son of God. Oh, hallelujah. This was the Son of God. The Word of God is true. And all we have to do is believe. Do you believe today? I'm filled up. This has been a word today. Hallelujah. We're going to go back and hit some life lessons this morning. And the first is coming out of Exodus chapter 39, verse 42. According to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did all the work. And this is what Dr. Stanley, all the life lessons commentary is coming from Dr. Charles Stanley. And it says, God calls us to obey him in all things, whether we understand all of his commands or not. The people carefully carried out all the Moses' instructions, even down to the little details that might not have seemed crucial to them. In Exodus 40 and 35, the word says, the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. A similar phenomenon occurred when Solomon dedicated the temple in Jerusalem. And when we go to 1 Kings, we'll see this again in 1 Kings 8, chapter 10, chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. God wanted to leave no doubt among his people that he would be with them as promised. And we see it in Isaiah 6 and 4 and Revelation 8, 4. Exodus 40 and 38, the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day and fire was over it by night. Thank you again, Evangelist Teresa, for being our guest reader today. We appreciate you. And it says, with such a contentious and obvious sign, such a continuous and obvious sign of the Lord's guiding presence, we might wonder why the Israelites ever doubted his leading. Yet we have his spirit within us, and how many of us ever doubt his guidance? Come on now. Many of us do. I'll tell the truth and shame that wicked devil. In Leviticus chapter 1, verse 3, he shall offer it of his own free will. Y'all catch that? Free will. As Evangelist spoke to us today, he shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle, a meeting before the Lord. And that is our offering. We don't pay our tithes because we got to. We pay our tithes because we want to. Willingly offerings to the Lord demonstrate where the desires of our heart truly lie. Hallelujah. Don't begrudge God what belongs to God. Leviticus 1:17, it is a burnt sacrifice, an offering by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Eager obedience is a sweet aroma to the Lord. Christ lived to obey his Father. And when we follow his example, we too become a sweet aroma to the Lord, the aroma of Christ himself. See 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 15, which we will get to. Leviticus chapter 2, verse 11. No grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven. The Bible often uses leaven or yeast as a picture of sin. Matthew 16 and 6. It was not to be offered on the altar, just as sin is not to be allowed to dominate the life of a believer. Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of the Lord to be lacking from your grain offering. Salt is here used to symbolize God's covenant with his people. Just as salt is necessary to sustain life, so is God's continual relationship with us necessary to sustain and enjoy life everlasting. God wants us to have flavor, and the flavor that we have is God. Hallelujah. God is the salt in our body. Everybody has salt. You got to have potassium. It's just one of those things that keeps the body going. And God is what keeps us going. The love of the Lord, which is our strength. Hallelujah. Our hope in the future. That we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Psalm chapter 22, verse 24. He has not despised nor abhorred the afflictions of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. Jesus clearly had this psalm on his mind as he hung from the cross. So he must also have taken great comfort from this part of the psalm. He knew that God heard his cry and would cause him to triumph. Hallelujah. And what happened? He triumphed. Hallelujah. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and we will triumph over death and over the enemy. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Matthew 27:14. He answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. Pilate was used to prisoners cowering in his presence. This one did not, and it unnerved him. Isaiah had predicted that the Messiah would keep silent before his accusers, and Jesus did exactly that. Isaiah 53:7, if you want to go back and read it. And I love this life example that Dr. Stanley gives us, and it says, in his thoughts, there is no doubt that as Jesus stood trial in front of Pilate, he was completely focused. Matthew 27:12 tells us while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Think about that. As the false accusations were being flung at him, the Son of God didn't call a battalion of angels. He didn't curse the priests and elders as he had the fig tree that didn't bear fruit. We read that in Matthew 21:19. He did not do anything to defend himself. He answered nothing. Hebrews 12:2, help us understand Christ's mindset. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus endured it all for the joy set before him. It was enough to stop him from answering his accusers. He was sufficient to keep him focused. It was sufficient to keep him focused. Yet what was the overwhelming joy? Of course, it was going doing the Father's will. However, it was also you. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5:2 admonishes, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. Galatians 2:20 says, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. Christ's joy was you. Think about that as you celebrate St. Valentine's Day. That was our love day yesterday. Love is not simply red hearts, bouquets of flowers, and chocolate. True love is unconditional. True love reaches out. True love gives itself sacrificially. Perhaps you have a special loved one with which to celebrate, which you celebrated on yesterday. Or perhaps today is one of the loneliest days of the year. Maybe yesterday was a lonely day for you. Perhaps you are wondering if anyone is thinking about you. The answer is yes, Jesus is. He's thinking about you today, and he thought about you back then. He thought about you as he stood trial, and his love for you kept him focused on the goal to reconcile you to God, to show you his love eternally. So today, remember that you are Christ's joy, his beloved, and Dr. Stanley wished everybody a happy Valentine's Day on yesterday. Again, we came out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, so this word was not read on yesterday. And as we continue, it says this, have nothing to do with that just man. For I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. What did God tell Pilate's wife in this dream? What did he intend to accomplish through it? How should the dream have influenced events? We don't know, but we do know that God speaks to those with open ears. Pilate's wife had open ears to hear, but she told her husband, don't have nothing to do with this. And what did he do? He washed his hands of the situation. He's like, She saw something, and I'm going with what she saw. I'm with her today. And in Matthew 27:14, even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. At the beginning of the crucifixion, both robbers jeered Jesus. But when one criminal saw how Jesus reacted to the angry mob with grace and forgiveness, he was struck to the heart and came to faith. Luke 23:40-43, and Jesus told him that he would be with him in paradise. Did he not? Because he repented and he gave his life on the cross to Christ beside the Savior. He gave his life for Christ and said, he told me, I know I sinned, and told the other robber, you have too. But he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Come on now. Ooh, hallelujah. And Jesus said, I'm not going to forget you. You know, we're going to go just a teeny tiny bit over because God is putting me on to read this last section for you. So if you can stay on for just a little longer. I know those that are on the radio are going to be coming off. So I say to you this morning, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent. One from each other in the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus. I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And for those that are also leaving, just a quick word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And it just says this, good morning. Letting go of the past is only hard when you don't believe in your future. Don't be afraid. God has you. Have a terrific Tuesday, family. And I just say have a trusting in God. Day to day, trust the Lord and watch him work in your life. And for those that are able to stay, this is a life question forsaken from Matthew 27:46. And it says this, we have all at least thought it. My God, why have you forsaken me? We've all come to the point where we feel like God has left us to despair in our bad situations, whether it's because a medical problem, relational difficulties, our financial setbacks. We know what it's like to feel abandoned. Yet, for some reason, it's disturbing that Jesus said it on the cross, Matthew 27:46, tells us about the ninth hour. Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? The word forsaken means to abandon or leave helpless. Yet generally, we are accustomed to hearing it in terms of God's promise to never desert us or never leave us. Come on now. As Deuteronomy 31:6 says, the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, because we know that God honors his promises, we are convinced that God is never going to forsake us. And even when it feels like God is nowhere to be found, we claim the promise and have confidence that he is still with us. However, when we read that Jesus said it on the cross, it's somewhat disconcerting. Of course, we understand that Jesus had to be crucified in order to forgive us of our sins. And we know that it was excruciating for him. Still, it was an outburst that seemed strange coming from Jesus. Think about it. Jesus had been on the cross almost 6 hours. Why did he say it just as he was about to die, when he was almost through with the mission? After all, Jesus knew that the Father would keep his promise to resurrect him from the grave, Psalm 16:10. So knowing the promise and knowing the suffering would be over very soon, why did Jesus say that God had forsaken him? We know it couldn't be from the lack of faith. Sometimes in the immensity of all that happened at the cross, we lose the same detail of God's astounding plan. However, it is important to note that the exact moment when Jesus cried out, the Mishnah, which is the oral law of the Jewish people, reports, the slaughter of the Passover lamb was performed during the ninth hour. The ninth hour, we learn that at the exact moment when the lambs were being sacrificed at the temple, Jesus was crying out about being forsaken. If you ever wondered when exactly Jesus became our sin offering, understand that it was in the one awful, hard-fighting, redeeming moment that he cried out, because it was in that moment that he became sin for us. As Paul teaches us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In 1 Corinthians 5:7, Paul confirmed indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. In that moment, Jesus knew what it meant to be separated from God. For the first time since before the beginning of time, Jesus didn't feel God's presence. That doesn't mean that the Godhead was breached. Jesus was still fully God. Rather, it means that the Son understood the poverty of being separated from the Father, the hopelessness of it, the loneliness of it. It was the most heart-wrenching, awful moment of his life, first worse than any scourging, beating, or crucifixion. Perhaps that was the way that Jesus best experienced what it's like to be us, what it feels like to be a sinner without actually being one. In the moment, Jesus felt every fear that you and I feel. He felt the consequences of sin. He felt what it means to be forsaken, what it means to be without God's perfect love. Perhaps that's what it is at the core of every time we feel forsaken, abandoned, enraged, offended, and hurt. It all comes from fear. We are afraid of being left with nothing. We're scared of being unloved and rejected. We're terrified of dying alone. However, at the core of it all is the fear that comes from not feeling God's perfect love. Yet 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Friend, perhaps love doesn't abandon you when you experience God's perfect love and are obedient to his will. It doesn't matter what happens. You are fully convinced of God's provision and protection. Therefore, whenever you feel forsaken, remember that the resurrected Christ knows exactly how you feel. He knows the depth of your pain, and he did not leave you helpless in face of your fears. He did not abandon you to a life without the perfect love of God. So the next time you read the profound words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Thank Jesus for identifying with you in such a deep way, and realize that you can always count on him, because there's no situation you will face that he will not face with you. Wow. what a word this morning. Thank you all for staying with me today. And I just want to go one more time back over some of the things that I got prior to coming on our show this morning from my morning devotion on Morning Glory Nation. And the word that God gave Pastor Wilson was this: God is love. 1 John 4:18, 4 and 8. And these four things I'm leaving with you this morning as we talk about Jesus loving us enough to go to the cross for our sins. And the first is this: everything God allows is in my life is because of love. Thank you, Pastor Will. And as we continue, Pastor Fred told us, there is never a time in my life that God doesn't love me. And when you write these things down and you put them in your spirit, you understand that you are loved so much by God. I cannot love without God, and people cannot love me without God. Whew. God is the source of love, is what I put in parentheses. And then the last one is, when I say I love you, I'm really saying I got you. I love you, family. I ask God to cover you from the crowns of your head to the soles of your feet. And I ask God to give you strength as you go through this day. Thank you for staying with me this morning. Thank you for loving God and loving his word. Thank you again, Evangelist, for hanging out there with us and reading this morning. It is greatly appreciated. Evangelist Teresa, our guest reader, and will continue on in that capacity coming up. And I thank God for her this morning. And our last thing as we leave, because it's a wrap, y'all, is this: the Lord God will lead your way. Keep God first in everything you do, and watch our Father God lead your way. Family, it's a wrap. Wow, we have had a word today. Thank you, God. Be blessed, family. And have a blessed and wonderful day. Our God love you today. It's a wrap.